Just so you know, Daft Monks is half talk show, half actual play campaign that features adult language and topics. Viewer discretion is advised.
Let's get to it.
Hello and welcome to Nat One Presents the Daft Monks podcast, a special episode. Hey, Nate.
Hey, Nate. We are not alone.
We're not.
I don't mean, you know, in terms of one of your conspiracy theories or an X-File reference. I mean, we have a special guest on the show tonight.
I'm just saying the truth is out there, man.
We actually have a guest on today's show, the first of season two. Honestly, he's a pretty big deal. If you don't mind, Nate, I'd love to skip our usual bullshit and just jump right into our intro and put our little journalist hats on. How's that sound?
That's fine with me. Go ahead and talk to your new friend.
All right, let's do this. Tonight's guest is a true Renaissance man with professional careers in both radio and circus performing. He currently holds the Guinness World Record for most bullwhip cracks in 1 minute, a record he has broken multiple times since 2016. In 2022, he appeared on America's Got Talent, where he split a dry piece of spaghetti between Simon Cowell's legs with his whip. A current TikTok sensation, he's essentially the real-life Trevor Belmont and a D&D nerd to boot. Nate, please give a warm Daft Monks welcome to Jack Lapierre's, a.k.a. Jacques Whippert.
Bonjour. It's my pleasure to be here. And, you know, you talk about putting journalist hats on. I literally just took my journalist hat off. So I'm going to keep mine off. That's all right.
Actually, though, that is your very first question. 6 days ago, we saw, obviously, of course, we follow your streams and you did your last read for WBUR. What's next, Jack?
So right now it's full time circus performing. I've got a few weeks off. Then I head down to Florida for about a month. And then I'll be down there until basically end of March, back here for most of April, early May. And then it is basically on the road for me from mid, late May all the way probably until about Thanksgiving.
That's quite the schedule. And will that be from Renaissance Fair to Renaissance Fair, or do you have some other gigs lined up that you can talk about?
Right now, it's all Renaissance Fairs. I've got a couple of shows that might be outside of it, but it's going to be Florida Renaissance Fair, New Jersey Fair. Colorado Ren Fest. It's the complicating thing is, are they a fair or are they a fest? And I try to get them right, but I always default to fair because of King Richard's Fair here in Massachusetts. I'll be doing that one. There's a Midsummer Renaissance Fair in Washington State I'll be doing in August. Maryland Renaissance Festival. And then I'm in talks with a couple of other shows. So don't want to jinx anything just yet.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Very exciting, though. That's great. I grew up in New England, so I know you guys from, or I know you from King Richard's Fair going back. I won't even say the date because that would age both of us, frankly. But I had asked my mom for some photos, and she gave me a super high res of my mom, a super high res one with you and my sister, and then an incredibly low res photo of me standing 10 feet away holding your Fifi horn.
Yes. Yes. Did I make you Fifi?
Yep. Yep. That went back. I don't know if that's still a bit anymore in your thing.
Not every show, but I try to. It's basically I have sort of like the classic Jacques Whippert show and then the new show that I just put out last year.
Nate is here from the kind of southwest of the country, so I don't think he's had a chance to see any of your shows. But the Fifi horn, Nate, is when he kind of calls out somebody in the audience and then just kind of embarrasses them by making them honk a horn whenever he like calls out their name. It's pretty demeaning and hilarious for the entire audience.
Yeah, sounds great not to be the person on stage.
I commend you for following your dreams, Jack. Did you ever think you would quit doing radio? Like if we go back even maybe 5 years ago?
Well, it's been this weird sort of process where, you know, when I first came to BUR, I was 21 years old. I was still in college. I interned there before I got a job there. And it was this, you know, at the time I was like, yeah, I'll probably go, like, I'll be here for a few months and then I'll go into circus performing. And then it was like, every time I got a little more circus work, they would give me, you know, either a promotion or the opportunity to try different things. You know, it was this constant, like, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. And it happened like three or four times. And it really wasn't until, you know, the TikTok kind of blew up for me in October of 2021 that I was like, okay, all right, let's see where this can go. And it's gotten to the point now where, I mean, if I were to stay at BUR, it would have been, I'd be leaving money on the table at this point and a lot of money. So it just makes financial sense.
Two careers, you know, like that's, it's hard to be really great at one to be exceptional at two. That just sounded not like a great work-life balance, I imagine.
Well, it was really, I mean, I was doing like three jobs if you count the social media work too, because I mean, you guys know content creation is no joke. Mm. I think, I mean, before I came on this, I spent about 3 hours working on editing YouTube stuff, cutting clips together for tomorrow. I mean, it really is a full-time job. It's not the hardest job in the world, but it is a job.
Yeah, Nate does all that. I just make funny voices, so I can't imagine.
Honestly, you got it made, man.
I think our closest to viral anything, and it's not really the case, but we animated some clips from the show, and it had a little character that looked like, have you played Among Us? Those like little, I don't know, toe-looking things. We did one clip where we kind of had characters Nate describes in the podcast, like a really funny-looking person that happens to get animated out like an Among Us character. And then just like a cult of 13-year-olds liked this clip and just responded, sus, which is what they say in the game. And that's it.
I love it. It is crazy what goes viral sometimes that you like, you don't expect at all. The TikTok video I posted a couple of days ago of me doing the freaking Sephiroth theme song from Final Fantasy VII. I was like, okay, this is niche. It's a long TikTok clip. It's like 90 seconds long. I was like, this, I'll be lucky if this, you know, gets 300,000 views. No. Shot up to that amount in like half an hour. I was like, all right, don't underestimate the power of the nerds.
My mom actually sent me that clip because I'm a big Final Fantasy person. And she was like, yo, you're going to love this. And while that you learn those lyrics, I think you said something like a decade ago.
I distinctly remember I was sitting on my balcony at my old apartment. So it would have been somewhere, I would say, around 2013, 2014.
Wow. And lucky for you, Final Fantasy VII Remake came out and it had a reason to get requested.
It still took like 3 years from the remake or 2 years from the remake. But you know what? We'll take what we can get.
So, all right. I remember the days where you had multiple Facebook pages. You had like Jack the Whipper, Jacques the Whipper. I remember the like clips you would do and you put up your Cash App. So after all that hard work, it's paid off. And do you think back sometimes like, I made it? Like, do you feel that way? Or do you still feel like you're in progress or still growing what you and your act is or your talent?
Well, I'm still in such a transition right now that I don't know kind of like where I'm going to settle. That, I mean, like internet fame is tenuous at best, which is why I'm taking, you know, an aggressive performance schedule this year. It's probably more than I need, but I want to make sure that I'm working more than I need to rather than less than I need to. I think what I really am excited for in the next couple of years is, so for the last, you know, basically seven, radio has been my main focus. Radio has been my job. And I wasn't even sure that I was going to, you know, keep circus performing for much longer. So I didn't put a lot of effort into writing new material, making the show better, and, you know, basically just bringing a better product. So now I have, you know, an extra 40 hours a week. I mean, really 45 if you count, you know, travel time and errands and all that, where I can really just focus on being a better performer and bringing new things on stage. And I'm really excited for that.
That's amazing. I hope I get to see it in the near future.
Yes, sir.
Do you think you're going to take any different types of gigs now that you know, your career has changed and you probably, I'm sure you've made some connections. Do you see yourself still sticking with the Renaissance route or switching it up and trying some different stuff? I know you said maybe there's some stuff you can't talk about right now, but.
I mean, I would like to try out some theater work. My show, the way it's developed right now, though, is a Renaissance Festival show. And I don't think ever going to say I'm too good for the Renaissance Fair. So that's not, you know, I'm not actively trying to get out of it, per se. That said, there are things you can do in a theater that you can't do in an outdoor festival. And that goes both ways. You know, we just did a theater show a few weeks ago where can't do fire indoors. So that, you know, that takes out the fire whip. So we have to come up with a different finale. So I am excited to try out different venues, but Renaissance Fairs, I think they're always going to be kind of my bread and butter.
What is the likelihood your show becomes a traveling bondage experience? Asking for a friend.
The traveling bondage experience? I would say very little. I don't think my wife is going to sign off on that. The other thing is, it's this funny thing of like, people see my act and I think they assume a lot of things. And I was recording a cameo for someone the other day. His girlfriend asked me to send him a Valentine's Day cameo saying like, he has recently gotten into whips and floggers and therefore he's become a big fan of you. And I said in this cameo, I'm like, well, you've got like the most vanilla man to ever wield a whip here right now. But listen, man, I would never kink shame. So you do you, man. And have lots of fun.
That's awesome. So I want to switch over and talk, you know, we are We call ourselves the D&D podcast, but to be honest, we kind of dropped the rolling a little bit because it kind of killed some of the organic fun we were having when we were role-playing and improv. But we still like to think of ourselves as a D&D pod. So wanted to ask you, what's your experience with Dungeons & Dragons or tabletop or role-playing games?
I had this really interesting experience where, as a kid, I always really, really, really wanted to play Dungeons & Dragons. But being the circus kid, I didn't have any friends. So I didn't have anyone to play Dungeons & Dragons with. So I just played video games by myself, hence Final Fantasy. But the funny thing was, is like I read the, I think, Advanced D&D, AD&D Player's Handbook probably like 15 times, usually while backstage at Renaissance fairs while my dad was working. So it was like, I knew like how to make a character. I knew exactly like what kind of class I wanted to make, all this. And then, you know, never got to play until I think right before the pandemic started. We got new neighbors, one of whom was a DM, and I mentioned this all to her that I was like, I want to play, you know, let's try it sometime. And so she put together a campaign. We did our first campaign, she was very generous with the leveling, but we went all the way from level 3 to level 20 in about a year.
Dang. Wow.
Yeah. And then since then, we've done a few other campaigns. We kind of made it partway through Curse of Strahd and then got married. One of our party members had a kid. So like that's kind of on indefinite hold, but we might get to do some of that.
Well, Jack, I don't want to keep you too long. We really brought you here for some ridiculous, messy, sloppy role play. So I hope you are up for the task.
Absolutely. I'm so for it.
Let's dive into the show.
The darkness is approaching yet again. The vampires have outnumbered us. 4-1, and our odds are not in our favor. It seems as if all hope is lost.
I wouldn't quite say lost, as probably misplaced or something along those lines, but either way, fear not, for Van Helsing and Belmont are here to save you.
Awesome. Okay, so just a recap for both our listeners and for yourself. Daft Monks is kind of similar to your secret show, or so I've been told, where we do set a scenario and we set up a goal, and we do a little bit of narrative setup. But then after that, we just let the scene play out and roleplay as best as possible. So, sometime prior to this session, your character, Jack, writes a poem for a seemingly attractive young woman who, unbeknownst to you, happens to be one of Dracula's brides. It turns out, though, that that didn't quite jive with the big D, and shortly after, you were captured by vampires and thrown into a cell where you await your trial in Dracula's court. So, Jack, please give us your character's name and just a brief description of what he looks like and what you're thinking right now.
I think, taking some inspiration from the bard himself, I think my character's name is William Shakespeare, and he's known for especially suggestive poetry. Not exactly the tallest man, not exactly the most good-looking man, but what he lacks in, shall we say, appearance, he more than makes up with confidence that really shouldn't come from anywhere.
Ooh, I like that a lot. Yeah, he's going to fit right in. As you're kind of just in your cell, a vampire guard appears, and he unlocks the cell and proceeds to escort you to another location. And he starts telling you that you've been assigned an attorney for your trial. He's the only one brave or stupid enough to take on Dracula's court, and his name is Abraham Van Helsing.
I've heard that name once or twice.
Yeah, he's the former monster hunter, and apparently he's just as bad at being a lawyer as he is at killing monsters. In fact, turns out he has absolutely no legal qualifications at all, bless his heart, which is probably why he's allowed to represent defendants in Dracula's court.
How's his confidence level?
Oh, you'll see. Very confident. You'll have about 5 minutes to prepare for your case, and then the trial's going to begin. Good luck. You're going to need it. And with that, he opens a door to a jab conference room at Dracula's castle and pushes you in, where you're confronted by a portly, mustachioed figure and some kind of secretarial assistant.
Greetings, Bill. May I call you Bill? Shakespeare? Pear? Pickle?
It's Shakespeare. Pear. Emphasis on the pear, if you would.
Very well, Bill. I see you don't mind me calling you Bill. We're going to get along just fine. I will be defending you today in Dracula's court. Are you guilty? That's the first thing we just have to get out of the way right now.
What are the charges?
Something about messaging a floozy and telling her that she looks really pretty and, like, you shouldn't have done that.
Well, excuse me. I would never call a woman a floozy. That just seems inappropriate in all manners of doing things. You know, I just simply complimented her. She had very nice teeth. I was just drawn in by those teeth.
All right. I will take that as you're guilty, and we'll move on to question number two. How do you think I should proceed with this?
You're the lawyer. Isn't this your job to determine exactly how we should proceed? I mean, what would you recommend in a situation like this?
Good answer, Bill. Good answer. Onward to question three. Let's say, like, worst case scenario, what would be, like, the worst thing you think could happen here?
What is the worst case scenario? Is it...
Death.
Death? Oh, like, what sort of death are we talking about? Are we talking, like, slow and agonizing, or just, like, a quick, like, need a snap of the neck with Dracula's super strength?
Well, you know that thing where, like, where they have, like, four horses, and then they tie you to, like, the different horses, and then they tell them to go different ways? So imagine that, but, like, worse.
I'd rather not, but I suppose I shall.
All right. Now, I've been studying intently over the past 5 minutes, so I feel rather confident that I can win us this case.
Oh, you have confidence as well. Well, that will be just the best of friends. What is our strategy in this, then?
Beg for forgiveness. Oh, go ahead.
The paralegal jumps in. May I suggest, Van Helsing, there is perhaps a small sliver of hope if we go with the following argument. Based on the precedent set in Chaucer versus 10th grade English, it was established that if an author were to be canceled by society, none of their works can be admissible. So, if we cancel Mr. Bill Shakespeare and thus render his poem inadmissible, the whole case becomes hearsay.
Right, but
let me tell you what I really think about Hogwarts' legacy. I would like to express all of my deepest thoughts about that and about J.K. Rowling right now.
Cancelled. It's over. Before the case even started.
Let me tell you what I think about the elves in Rings of Power as well. How dare they have short hair?
Calm down, McNibbles. Calm down as
Van Helsing starts patting his right pectoral area. There's a large pocket and you see something squirming around a little bit inside there.
McNibbles, now you calm down, sir. Now, Bill, I believe we do have a solid foundation for this case. I am ready to proceed whenever you are. Paralegal, do you agree that we're ready for this? I mean, look at Bill. He's obviously innocent.
Yeah, well, we've had worse cases, so can't be that bad, right?
And we lost them.
I was about to say, what is your record in the court of the Big D, as I understand he's called?
Actually, on paper, about 0-11, but in my heart, 11-0.
Well, 12 times the charm is what they always say.
Yes, I knew I'd like you, Bill.
And just then, the door opens up and that same vampire guard comes in. He's like, all right, your case is ready. I'll escort you both onto the courtroom.
Vampire guard, what nice teeth you have. I could write sonnets about that.
That's what got you here in the first place. I don't advise that.
Oh.
See, he'll do it to anybody.
So as we walk into the courtroom, you see, I kind of imagine this is both a courtroom and Dracula's court, like a castle court. And it's just like a multi-purpose kind of both happening. You got nobles standing around, but then there's also like the whole like jury stand and bench and whatnot. You look over and where the judge's area would be, you see, you know, a vampire wearing the whole like wig getup with his gavel. And then you see another gentleman in all white and a cowboy hat with vampire fangs and red eyes. And he essentially looks like the KFC colonel, but vampire form. And you can kind of hear them, like, they're just bantering together. The attorney's like, you don't look a day over 400, Your Honor. What's your secret? And they're just laughing and giggling together.
He looks finger-licking good.
Well, damn. I've lost to this guy 11 times in a row. They keep bringing him back. He's the bane of my existence.
Doesn't he have any sorts of weaknesses? Can't we bait him with the smell of a freshly cooked? Oh, I suppose they don't eat, do they?
No, he keeps all 11 herbs and spices a secret. I can't get through to him.
Dastardly man.
And then, yeah, the judge interrupts. You guys approach the bench, and he's like, all rise for the dishonorable judge.
What was that name again?
Judge O'Dablidge.
Oh my. Are you related to the sheriffs of Westminster?
No, there'll be order in the court here. My name is Judge O'Dablidge. And let's go ahead and commence. Now, starting speeches, prosecution, you may go first, and then defense.
Your Honor, the jury, and the good people of Dragonus Court, I'm here to show you today that there is nothing stopping such a mindless creature from hitting on any of your husbands and wives, let alone a bride of Dracula. This Bill Shakespeare, as he calls himself, must be castrated and serve a lifetime sentence of sexual education under the surveillance of the court. And then he goes back, returns to his bench.
Now it's my turn. If I'm going to be 100% honest, I only caught about half of what he said. It's all poppycock. First of all, my client's name is William, not Bill. Only I can call him Bill. He's my best friend. So obviously we're talking about the wrong person. He's innocent. I rest my case.
Well done. Well done. I have great confidence that'll go well.
Thanks, Bill.
I got you, Abe.
Your Honor, may I approach the bench?
Oh, yes. Yes, you may.
And the whole KFC vampire guy goes up to the judge, and he kind of looks up Van Helsing up and down. And he says,
well, that man is clearly lying, clear as day. You can see his fingers are crossed and held behind his back. How can we trust a man who can't even uncross his fingers during an opening statement?
Now, I understand completely where you're coming from, considering we're from the same region. But we have some high nobles here today, and they're looking for a good show, so do your best to try to make these human fellas look like fools out here. We're putting on a show, now put on a show. It's going to be guilty, I guarantee it, unless for some reason, one way or another, he can prove otherwise.
Oh, you want to make me earn it today, aren't you, Judge? All right, then.
Oh, yeah. You scantering it back now.
He, like, pulls up his waistband and moseys back over to his bench.
Abraham?
Yes, Bill.
Do they have like the letter that I wrote? Do they actually have all of this evidence?
That's a good point. I shall bring that up. Your Honor, I believe we need to see the evidence. Where is this poem or sonnet or letter or napkin that was at a bar with some quill marks? Where is the evidence stating that my client William, not Bill, only I call him Bill, wrote down these actually rather nice things about Dracula's wife that anybody would really say, but he's in trouble. Anyway, where's the evidence?
Your Honor, if I may point to Exhibit A, we have the napkins and the poetry written by one William Shakespeare. In fact, if I may call to the stand, William, let's have a little discussion about your poem, shall we?
Well, I'm of course perfectly innocent, so of course, yes, so, yes, but of course.
Objection! We need to put more emphasis on the pair in Shakespeare.
That's my lawyer right there. That's why I hired him.
Yes.
Stunned into silence, I see.
Frozen in time.
Let's see who's silent once I read your poem now, shall we? Now, did you or did you not, Mr. William Shakespeare, write these prose, okay? Every time I see your face, it reminds me of you. Did you or did you not write that first line? You're under oath, Mr. William Shakespeare.
I may have written that, but it's not necessarily my best work.
No, no. But how about the line, your eyes are like blue sapphires painted blue? Or how about, you are the song the singing singer sang? Are any of these your best work?
I mean, no, of course not. I mean, what I wrote to the lovely lady was some of my best work.
Oh, okay. So when you wrote to the lovely lady, roses are red, true love is rare, booty, 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 popping everywhere, that was your best work. Answer the question, Mr. Wood.
Listen, it's a buffer and it's a jam. The children these days are very much into what I write. It's ahead of its time.
Good people of the jury in Dracula's court. These are the prose of a romantic predator, a devilish wordsmith intent on ravaging Dracula's bride's heart, were it to ever beat again. He is a dangerous human, the likes of which none of us have ever seen in this court. I rest my case.
Well, I guess it's my turn now. Now, William, may I call you Bill?
You may, because you're my best friend.
Ah, excellent. Now, Bill, I can see it in your eyes that you are obviously a racist and a bigot and a phobe of all the phobes. So I think we should throw out the case entirely because, paralegal, what did you say before in the case of blah, 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 blah? If we can cancel him, something like that. Either way, obviously my client, who is extremely handsome and has a way with words, just shouldn't be taken seriously anymore if his life depends on it.
Objection, Your Honor. Now don't give me boogers and tell me it's broccoli. That's all I have to say about that.
But you're a vampire. You don't even eat at all.
Well, I mean, eat is a subjective word. I mean, nourishment from blood is... We are not here to interrogate us vampires. We are here to talk about your dirty, dirty act with Dracula's wife.
Objection. Who says that it was dirty? It could have been clean. Very, very clean. Now, I shall disregard my former comment and continue to talk about Bill here. Now, Bill, how many poems would you say you've written over the past, I don't know, year or so?
Oh, simply thousands, of course. You, with a genius mind like mine, you simply can't turn it off.
Now, would it be out of the realm of possibility if somebody were to see you at a tavern and simply copy down some of your former poems or sonnets?
Oh, it simply happens all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. Mm-hmm. It's that simple William Shakespeare. He thinks that he's my peer, but he's not even simply worthy to hold my beer.
Yes, a very Amadeus kind of moment. I can see it now. Obviously, my client was framed by a weaker individual who is not very good at wordsmithing, such as... William Shakespeare is here, and he copied down some of his words, and maybe, I don't know, copied his handwriting? Yes, possibly. I'm just going out on a limb.
Objection, Your Honor. Mr. Halsinger is clearly leading the witness to outright lie under oath.
I'm going to go ahead and allow it. As he looks up and he's like getting some nods from the nobles, like, yes, keep going. I like what I see.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. I shall continue. Now, Bill, would you say that Dracula's wife is a fair lady, but you know better not to like, mess with her or send her messages and stuff?
I would never associate, even so much as think about another man's wife.
I rest my case.
Your Honor, if I may, the burden of proof is just that, a tedious burden. The prosecution requests admission of baseless evidence to make its case.
Now I see what you're saying there. Kinda, I was filing my nails underneath the table here, and they are looking mighty exquisite. I'm gonna go ahead and allow this case to carry on for a little bit now. I'm getting the nods. Yeah, I'm getting the nods. We haven't reached a verdict quite yet, and the jury is looking... rather perturbed over there. So can you call your next witness, please, and stop stalling the case, Mr. Kentucky Fried?
Fine, then. Okay. Well, I call Mr. One Nosferatu, who was at the tavern the night of the incident.
I call an objection. I had no idea he was going to be here today, and he's not mentally... I'm not mentally prepared for Nosferatu. Hello, y'all. Nosferatu here. Mr. Bill Shakespeare, you want to get out of my seat so I can sit in there?
It's Shakespeare.
Either way.
And this extremely tall, gangly, white-faced, long-toothed, long-nosed vampire comes sashaying his way down the courtroom, drinking a mint julep.
Now, Mr. Nosferatu, from one southern vampire to another, first I must say that you are looking delightful today, and that mint julep looks just simply refreshing.
Thank you, child. And it is hot as a dog's behind out there, if you know what I'm saying, child. And this thing just puckers me right up like... Now, why am I here today? I got a little summons from Dracula, and I was told to come to court. Why am I here?
Yes, Mr. Nosferatu. So... is it true that you were at the tavern, the Seamen and Swallows, the other night when Mr. William Shakespeare was hitting on Dracula's wife? Is that true or not true?
Let's just say I do frequent that establishment, and I am partial to drinking with the human kinds. But they all kind of look alike to me. Who are we talking about? The guy with the mustache?
Objection! I definitely do not look like Bill, even though he is handsome. I do not!
Abraham?
Yes, Bill.
Do vampires drink alcohol?
Just this one, Bill. Bill, since we're having a sidebar discussion.
Yes.
Do you remember seeing him at the tavern? I know he is a sore sight on the eyes.
I was kind of distracted by the beauty of Dracula's wife that night.
Okay, I completely understand.
But I think he said something along the lines of that all humans look alike, so like maybe we could cancel him.
Ooh.
And not cancel me.
Yes. I like that plan a lot, Bill. You are smarter than the average bear.
Thank you. Thank you. It's where I get all my confidence from.
If the defendant will quiet down, I will continue my interrogation of Miss Nosferatu. Now, apologies, Miss Nosferatu. Were you or were you not? You said you cannot necessarily identify whether or not the defendant was at the bar that evening. However, were you or were you not around Dracula's wife, who I know you know what she looks like? Was she not at the tavern that evening?
Let me think, child. She was, in fact, there, I do recall, because people should have been swooning over me, child, but instead they were all over her, and I was like, I need to do something about this. And so I went over there, and I snuck into the shadows like I know Sferatu do, and then I got distracted. I made my way back to the kitchen, started making some pumpernickel bread, and then after that, I threw that in the oven. I came back, and that's when I stole some of Shakespeare's little quote books, and then I was like planning on doing something menacing, but at that point, the guards already came rolling in, and blah, 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 blah.
See, Your Honor, Mr. Nosferatu has the books from Shakespeare, which he stole from Mr. William Shakespeare at the tavern, and we had Dracula's Bride there. All of it lines up. It practically already happened. We could watch it in real time, where, you know, we 300 years in the future or something like that. So the prosecution rests its case.
All right. Don't worry, Bill. I'll put a stop to this nonsense. Now, Nosferatu. Mm-hmm, child. I'm going to have a conversation with you, much like a crazy person has a conversation with two split personalities. And I'm going to keep rambling until one of us gets tired. You go ahead, child. I doubt I can keep up with me. All right. Now, Nosferatu, is it true that you think that all of us humans look alike?
That's pretty cut and dry, child.
Exactly. My point. Now.
Objection, Your Honor. This is not pertinent to the case at hand.
I'll allow it.
Now, back to my point. Hold on. What's that? Yes. Squeak, squeak. Squeakity squeak. Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, I have it under good authority that you, Nosferatu, were not even at that tavern on that night. Explain yourself.
Honestly, I got the letter, and I really don't know what night we're talking about exactly. I was told to come in here and make some stuff up, but I've had probably a couple of these mint juleps outside, and then a couple more out in the wagon, and then a couple more in the waiting room, child. So,
Objection, Your Honor. The witness is clearly drinking and not in right state of mind. I recommend we pull him off immediately.
Exactly. He cannot be trusted, or whatever this vampire gangly creature is, and I'm tired of hearing his voice.
Alright, we'll say Nosferatu leaves the stand, and the prosecution gets back up. I call back to the stand Mr. William Shakespeare.
It's Shakespeare.
Yes, get it right.
Yes, yes, whatever you want to call yourself. It won't matter shortly when this is finished. Now, Mr. Shakespeare, tell me, what do you think happened the night? If you are, in fact, innocent, how did multiple vampires misconstrue you hitting on Dracula's wife?
Well, it appears simply that the vampires mistook me for another man. I mean, we've been told already that apparently vampires think that we all look the same. I mean, simply, I just want to, you know, make sure that My reputation remains unbesmirched because I would never look at another man's wife. I would simply just be there admiring the architecture of the wall.
And with that, the prosecutor walks up to someone in the jury and says, clearly confusing that human for you, and be like, that is not true, Mr. Shakespeare. We do not think all humans look the same. I can clearly as day tell that you are the guilty person, and...
You're not even talking to the right guy!
Irrelevant, Your Honor. Objection. The defendant is making good points that I was not totally prepared for, and I recommend we throw all of those out immediately.
Yes. Now, for my surprise evidence, Bill, remain on the stage there.
Okay.
Now, Bill, do you recall seeing me at the Seaman Swallows Tavern?
Well, that's a complicated answer. I'm not sure we have time to go into who I saw swallowing that night, but I'm not sure that's exactly what we should be talking about.
Objection, we have time, Your Honor.
The correct answer, Bill, is yes. Now, I was dressed up as a belly dancer of some kind, and I infiltrated the crowd, and I watched you the entire night. You had a couple drinks. Yes. You agree, Bill?
I do.
Okay. Now, follow me here. As a belly dancer, I might have slipped something into your drink, me being jealous of who you are, having such fame over and notoriety over me, and you may have passed out at some point, and then I put a blankie over you and then pushed you in a corner. Do you remember these things, Bill?
Well, no, I was drugged.
Exactly my point. Your Honor, my client was drugged that night at the bar, and there's no way he could have done these devious things.
Your Honor, motion to put Van Helsing on trial and immediately find the defendant innocent.
Now, I'll allow it, but let's be real quick about it.
Now, Mr. Van Helsing.
Bill, don't leave me here.
I won't, no. Your Honor, can I represent Bill in the trial now?
Well, it's pretty clear now, Your Honor. I am on trial. I will sit on the little wooden stool, and Bill will defend me. Now, ask your questions.
Abraham.
Yes.
You were at the Seaman Swallow. Seaman and Swallow? What's the name of the bar again?
Seaman and Swallow.
Seaman and Swallow.
The sign is like a sailor holding like a bird. That.
Of course, of course, of course. What else would it be? I don't understand. Of course, of course. Abraham. Can I call you Abe?
Yes, you can, best friend Bill.
Abe, are you aware of another Abraham from history?
No.
A man renowned for his honesty. A man about whom it was said he could not tell a lie.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you, Bill. I don't do a lot of reading.
That's fair. Well, I have heard stories of this Abraham of Lincoln, as I have been told his name was, a man who was so honest, so pure, that everyone knew that he was a good person. And I think you share a lot of qualities with him. Your name, of course.
You think so? He sounds like a wet blanket, like someone I wouldn't want to take to a party.
But I would just like to establish that for the court. But of course, I mean, Abraham, Abe, you know, after you drugged me in the tavern that night.
Yes.
Could you recount one more time for the court what you did?
Yes. Now, I threw the blankie on you, and then I pretended for a long, long time that I was a cat, and I was kneading you like bread, and I was stretching out my imaginary claws and just pushing and pushing and pushing. That lasted for about 45 minutes.
So you put a blanket on me. Why?
To cover you up. I didn't want anybody else to realize that you were there.
And of course, to make me feel warmer, right?
Oh,
you care about me.
It was rather chilly out that night.
Yes, yes. And then you needed me because you wanted to give me a massage. You saw that how performing had left my muscles sore, correct?
Yes, I've heard that the burden of performance can be on one's back, so I was simply massaging it. I see where you're going.
Your Honor, what I'm trying to illuminate here is that Abraham Van Helsing, Abe, my new best friend, is a good, honest man who would never do anything untoward, and therefore is clearly not guilty of all charges. No further questions.
Shakespeare's character leaves the witness stand. The colonel, like a bloody tear, drips down his face. Your Honor, I believe the only thing Mr. Van Helsing is guilty of is being a really good friend. I thought they were going to go in a totally different direction with that whole drug thing, and thank goodness that did not happen. Let's just call it even. Bygones be bygones. Let's go get a drink over at the Seaman and Swallows, if that sounds good, y'all.
Looking around, looking upstairs, I can see that this case is, in fact, dismissed.
Well, thank goodness. Let's get out of here before Dracula's wife comes around again. I gave her the gift last night, and it is a terrible, terrible thing.
Abe, that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful idea. But actually, just before we do, I see a woman over in the corner that I'd like to talk to for just one moment, if you would.
Oh, yeah, you do you, man. Bill be Bill. Need a wingman or anything? I'll be over here with the rat in my pocket.
I just sidle over to a woman over in the corner whose teeth I've been admiring the whole episode. And I just hand her a little note that says, "My lady of the night, your teeth are just so white. I'd like to examine them and to feel your bite."
And scene. Jack, thank you so much for being on the show. We had a lot of fun. Super messy, as always, but we with a little bit of editing and the magic of technology, we might have a coherent episode somewhere in there.
Wonderful. Good. I was like trying to write like 4-line sonnets this whole time. I was like trying like show off poem, and I was like, I'm not letting that one go by.
Nice. Jack, how can our listeners, all 24 of them or whatnot, find you online or on social media?
Best spot to find me is jackthewhipper.com. That's where you can find my show schedule and links to all my social media. So I would just start there. It's not Jacques Z. Whipper because no one knows how to spell my name. But honestly, jackthewhipper.com, jackthewhipper.com, jacklepiars.com, any of the above, they'll all send you there.
You have all those domains?
I have all those domains because no one knows how to spell any of my names.
I've been called
Jacques Z. Wiper so many times.
Doesn't have the same appeal.
I mean, in some crowd, it does.
Jack, thank you so much. If you're listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, go ahead and leave us a rating or review and go ahead and give us a follow so you can listen to more gems like tonight's episode. Thank you so much and have a wonderful evening.
Bye.
Congratulations. You've survived another episode of Daft Monks. Did you enjoy the episode? Do you love the show? Do you want to pay for our dental plan? If so, I think it's only fair that you show Nat One some love in return. No, not that kind of love. Please, put it away. Oh, I meant to follow us on our social medias and all that good stuff. Simply click the links in the episode description to follow us on our Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or click support our show to make a monthly contribution to help pay for all the expensive software Nate subscribes to. And don't worry, other Nate will see the money eventually as it grows, but not anytime soon. I promise. Lastly, do you want even more Nat One goodness? Of course you do. Who wouldn't? Then click the prequel podcast link to listen to our experimental first season of podcasting for 50+ more episodes of conspiracy theories, messy one-shot campaigns, and of course, all of your favorite Nat One hijinks. Now, thank you a ton, and we will talk to you next week.